Right at this time when all of the earthquakes are taking place, the different things happening around you, it's real important that I clear things up as to the best that I can. And it's real important that I get your spirit and get your minds, because though, as I said this morning, many people are waiting for the rapture, it's going to be a very, very disappointing thing, because there isn't going to be what they're looking for. And the thing that will happen will be so quick, so fast, that there is no need of them looking for anything, because they don't even have a part in that. They have no part in that whatsoever. The part that they have in the coming of the Lord is that they at this very time move into the kingdom of God, and that they gradually transformate through the tutoring of God into the mind of Christ, that they will be ready when He appears. See, this is the only way that they're going to be able to make it. And that's why that I emphasize the Word the way I do, and that's why I press on you about the Word, because the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same that was in the beginning with God came forth and put on flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld." That is the only real manifested express image of God that was full of grace and truth. So Jesus was the express or the given image of God. See, this Word that we speak of, this Word, He sent His Word and He healed them. And by His Word He hath created all things. And by His Word He cast out the unclean spirits. And Jesus gave a secret as to this Word. He said, "My words are spirit, and they are truth. They are life." So then this wonderful Word of truth and this wonderful Word of spirit is life, which means like a seed that's planted in the ground, it changes into life. The seed changes into life. And having this wonderful, wonderful life, then it goes into us, and by faith of hearing, this Word comes. It strikes my nerves as to my ear nerves and goes down into my heart, and it becomes interwoven with my spirit. And it's just like a capsule that's filled with what you need. And the embodiment of it as to a sound, as to an expression, an oral expression, a conceived sound, and then the sound as to taking this little capsule as to a form that this life is hid in. This little image like this form goes down inside, then it dissolves away, and when it does, there is the potential to this wonderful life for this Word Spirit all throughout your beings. If it says, "I am the Lord God that healeth thee," then it is a healing seed. And when it goes down into you, just as the ground being fertile and the seed going into the ground, all of a sudden it brings forth life. Take a little butter bean like or a little pea and you drop it into the ground, and it will lay there until it cracks open like a rent veil. And out of that, just like the opening of the matrix as to a birth, then it'll come forth a little blade, and it'll come right on out of the ground. It'll come forth into a stalk, into a tonsil. You see life, and then the life at the end of this thing will finally be pulled from the stalk and be pulled from the shuck into the grain. And then it's like a stone. It's hid away to where the parasites can't do anything to it. They can't feed off of it like they can when it is a tender stalk, full of greenage or whatever, or even as a rosiny, as we say. Son, the Lord is doing a great, marvelous thing, and whatever you want, all you got to do is believe it. It comes to you. It's in every form of life. God is the great eternal spirit that hath manifested Himself in every form of life as to the need of humanity, or that is to say, everything that has been creative, everything that we see, everything we hear, everything we touch, everything we feel, that is of a benefit to life, has emanated from the great spirit, which is God, the eternal one, even our heavenly Father. And that means that this is a great world, even though it gets hot, it gets uncomfortable sometimes, you get tired, and all that's because of your nerve system. Your nerve system, like we say so often, the nerve to the brain and the ear nerves, and all the stuff that's your nerve system. You get weary, you get worn, you get tired. See, and you feel the oppression, not of those things that you behold, because that is the exhilaration that you pick up. Through the eye nerves, you see something that's pleasant in those 22 conductive nerves to the brain here that we speak of so often. That is transmitted like things on a typewriter, and it just thrills you throughout. But the thing that causes the oppression is the interference. Demon powers of fallen angels that are trying to get into your body, and they oppress you. And to Satan, he is an ignorant thing. He tries to control the weather when he don't know how. And he'll get on the radio or television or whatever and display his ignorance and say, it's going to be thus and thus, and then the next day it's altogether something different. And he does that in every way through the human knowledge, which is foolishness to God. And he's trying to control the world. He gets into the medical world, and he tries to control the world through the medical world. And he tries to control it through the educational world, and everywhere through the military world. He's always showing his ignorance. And because of that, we suffer from it. We suffer. But someday, according to the Bible, all of that will be over. The Bible said that Satan, he will wear the saints of God out with all these foolishness. With all of his foolishness, with all these foolish things like the paperwork at the local, courthouse and all these kind of things. And one of these days, God said there'll be something that'll move in. It's moving in already. That'll inspire the saints of God, and they'll rise up and take the kingdom. And there they'll possess it forever and ever. And they'll do like Paul did when he gathered all the books and started a bonfire. They'll gather all that stuff together and start a bonfire, because all this paperwork, all of this stuff that they have at the courthouse, all this stuff they have in Washington, all of that's not needful. You don't need all of that. That's a bunch of garbage. It'll be burned. But the thing is, under the conditions where people have been trained this way and people have been tutored this way, they don't see how in the world you could ever get along without it. See, just like the paperwork is when it comes to money. They could never picture living in this world without money. They'd say, that's crazy, Brother Pike. There's no way. But nevertheless, God brought 3 million people out of Egypt without money. And he took them out there and built a commonwealth. And he took care of them. And not any of them was ignorant, nor not any of them was sick. Without all the things of the world. And when people came up, years ago, they had their own little farm, and they had a little old horse and whatever God had given them, a plow or even whatever it was out there, and they raised their little patch of cotton, and they raised their corn and potatoes, and they lived real good, and they didn't care nothing about a courthouse or sheriff or anybody else, because the only law they had was the old shotgun anyway, and most people didn't come around to bother them. And the little daughters had virtue, and the sons had virtue, and dad and mother had virtue, and they loved one another, and they lived together. And if they went over to visit with the neighbors, if they did have an eat out or going to church and have dinner on the ground through Sunday or whatever, getting the old buckboard, you just go over there to have a good time, praise the Lord. And preachers was preaching, they loved the Lord. They wasn't trying to get on TV, and they wasn't trying to get on the radio, and they wasn't trying to lord over God's heritage. They were just good old corn-fed preachers that loved the Lord. And if you cooked them a good dinner, they was right there with you at the dinner and just preached their heart out to you. I remember a case over in the Carolinas. I remember through the Carolinas when the great move of God broke out there in the Carolinas. Carolinas are very spectacular in the move of God. And it broke out there, and they didn't have mics. They didn't have these kind of things. So all they had was trees where they just cut down the tree and leave the stump. I fixed something there as a little platform, and one preacher would be over here, and a bunch of wagons over here, and over here there'd be another preacher, all through the woods. There would be preachers on little stumps, and they was preaching to little groups of people. And according to the history, reading it, great revival sprang out, and the people were healed and wonderful, strong, healthy bodies from doing a little work instead of lounging around. You know, I heard something today. To me, it was real inspiration. It might not have meant anything to you, but it meant a whole lot to me. I was there in the cafe eating. Betty and I was talking, and just across the way here, there's a boy that came in, a kind of a husky-looking guy. He come in, he stood over here by the table, and I was directly across from him. And he must have had a little dispute with the people there or something, relatives or whatever it was. And I heard him just out loud, like he was upset. He said, well, I said, it beats staying at home, lounging around on a couch, watching a ball game. He said, at least I'm in church. I ain't doing that. And I almost said, hallelujah, glory to God. I had to catch myself, you know, to keep from doing that. But it just thrilled my heart because he was so bold in what he said. And he was a young guy. I thought, that's just marvelous that somebody would be thinking about God, you know. Well, anyway, you're a good audience. You're one of the finest audiences that I've ever preached to around the world. And if we overlook you in that you come here, we want you to know that we don't mean to, because we welcome you here. I was so glad to see David this morning, which I think back there is David again. I'm not sure. Lift your hand. That's good. And Dave's a mother, and I'm so glad to see them here again. Dave was here a long time ago. He come in here and stayed a little bit with Bethlehem, and then he got lost off, and I don't know where in the world he went to. But it's good to see him back here with us. He's a real fine guy. He's always a fine fellow when he was here. And he's a real fine person. We appreciate having David here. Carl was here this morning. I don't see him tonight. Maybe they scattered around. They shifted places. But we're glad to have you here. We're glad to have the others here, those that come in and out. If I don't recognize you, Brother Pike certainly does not mean to pass you and not say something concerning you, because we count it a privilege when you come to the house of the Lord. And God certainly does too. You know, I preach to my people a lot of times like they're all backslid. But they're really not. They're some of the most devout people in the world and some of the finest people in the world. But if you go tell them how good they are, they might not try to do no better. So I just find their shortcomings, you know, and I mention their shortcomings. They just keep moving up. Keep moving up. And that makes them even better. But I really appreciate them. And Brother John and his wife coming in from Colorado. John took part in our meeting out there in Colorado before the service. He usually got it, and after the service, he usually got it, and had a good time in the Lord. He and Sister Marie are here, and maybe Betty. I thought I saw Betty go across there. And they're planning to do some work in Colorado. We had a wonderful time, a wonderful attendance. People come, gave their hearts to the Lord, and we already have the place laid off as to the spot of ground, as to setting up the battered boards and whatever you call them, as to digging the foundation. And we've got some brethren that are waiting to leave immediately after camp meeting, Brother John. They've already asked if they could leave immediately after camp meeting and go into the areas of Colorado. And some of them said they would like to stay out there until our building is dried in. Which shouldn't be hard, because we have a building over here that's dried in. It is a log cabin, and they know exactly what to do. And we're going to try to go ahead and dig in the foundation and pour the foundation. And we already have the logs paid for, so they'll call for them coming down out of Montana. They'll come put them on that foundation. And then from there, it'd be Brother John's job to get that thing up. And there'll be those there that will be helping him to work with him. And we'll do whatever we can at a distance and as much as we can get in and out to help. But we want to erect a place out there for the Lord Jesus. Brother Jim Kirk, myself, we had ridden all over that valley down through New Mexico and around through Eagle's Nest and back around in the Colorado San Luis Valley. And Jim said, you know, Brother Pike, after going through that valley, he said, I came to the opinion that the best place to build a church and have a church was right where we're going to build a church. And it's really true. I had come to the same opinion, not knowing it, so I thought, well, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, that's good. We'll just build a church right there, and the Lord helping us, we'll do what we can for Christ. All right, let me read just a little bit here, and then I know it's uncomfortable. I can tell it up here. It's kind of warm. And one reason they leave these fans off, which I had rather perspire. I'd rather it be left off, because it's better on me. It don't tie me up, even though it's real uncomfortable. Heat rises, but I'd rather it be that way. Now, I believe that, if I'm not mistaken, the girl out of Nebraska that was here, her and her little one is here. They was the other night, and I didn't acknowledge them. But like I said, sometimes I just get to moving along, and I overlook those things, and I don't mean to do it. But I do know that Jim was telling me that they'd come in from Nebraska. They'd been here with us a good little bit, and we were glad to have them here. All right, let's turn over to the book. St. John chapter 12, and let's read here from the 35th verse. And as you read the word, always, always remember the word. This is the most precious thing, folks, that you'll ever have, because did you know there is no other form of life in the earth? You may get a great diplomacy from college, and if you do, well, that's good and fine. And you may have millions of dollars, and that's great. And whatever God gives you, that's wonderful. Just honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of your increase. Your barns will be filled with plenty. Your presses will burst out with new wine. But the Word of God is the chief thing. That's the only thing that you will ever get that is life. The Word of God is spirit, and the Word of God is life. So you want to be sure that you hold on to the Word of God. The 12th chapter, and it is the 35th verse. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while, ye is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Now, see, this is what we're saying here. While you have the light, believe in the light. If you don't believe in the light, how are you going to walk in the light? How are you going to cherish the light? How are you going to have the light? And the Bible said if you walk in darkness, then you stumble. And when we say walk in the light, we're talking about the understanding of God, this great light that shines in your midst that you comprehend through faith and through the understanding of the Lord. And when we say walk in the light so that you don't walk in the darkness, we mean to stay away from the intellectual confusion as to the confounding things of the world, of them things that are intellectual as to whether it be Washington or whether it be the local assemblies as to religion, or whether it be as to the county seat up here, whatever it might be, you walk in the light. Stay in the mind of Christ and walk in the light. And the Bible said, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin and all unrighteousness. If you don't fellowship, you know that you're not walking in the light. That's impossible to walk in the light and not fellowship. There's no way. Because you're saved by faith and faith by the hearing of the word. And the word says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And just the very minute that you forsake assembling yourself together, you're automatically in your own intellectual reasoning, whether it be religious or whatever. And you are walking in darkness and you're not in the faith of Jesus Christ. And you're not saved and you can't go to heaven because you're saved by faith that cometh by the hearing of the word. And when this faith isn't there, then you won't assemble together. And when you don't assemble, that means you don't have faith. And when you don't have faith, that means you're not in the light. And when you don't have light, that means you're not a child of God. You are a child of light when you walk in the light. And one of the great things of knowing that you pass from death unto life is that you love the brethren. When you love the brothers and sisters in Christ, then you want to be with the brothers and sisters in Christ. And you want to share with them whatever their problems is in life. You want to share with them. It doesn't matter what it is. You want to share with them because they are your brother and their your sister. And you're all brothers and sisters in Christ. So then that means that if we walk in the light, we will have fellowship. We will come to church. We will help one another. We will be concerned about world evangelism. And as the Bible said, and I know that this is a little strong, maybe sometimes people don't agree with me on this, but it's still the Word of God. The Bible said, he that God sends will speak God's Word, and this is the Word of God. The Bible said, hating the garment that's spotted with iniquity. Hating it. So then, do I love those that are without? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it should come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord should be saved. Then doth God love them that are without as to the wicked? No. No, I don't know where preachers ever got that. I don't know how that they ever taught such thing. For the Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day. Someone would say, well, I get angry with my boy, my daughter, but I love them. I know. But the difference between you getting angry and God getting angry, he said, I will pursue them till they perish from off the face of the earth, and I will tear them into pieces. Now, if you have that feeling towards your son or your daughter, it's for sure that you don't have any love for them. Anything that I'm going to tear into pieces, I don't have no love for. So it's very evident that all of that is without as to their prayers is abomination in the sight of God. all of that that is without us to their offerings, though people just gullibly take it, especially evangelists, it is an abomination in the sight of God. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, why do you preach the gospel? Knowing that you're preaching to them people, I preach to them people to bring them into judgment. Not that one of them is going to be saved, but that in the day of judgment that they might have to confess before God, you told us and we would not serve you. Being predestinated under the foreordination of condemnation, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, they are without as swine and dogs. But I'm preaching because among them is the elect. And Jesus said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he said, Father, I prayed for these. I haven't prayed for the world and the others. Somebody said, well, Jesus, he died for all. He said, I didn't even pray for the others. How did they get in? Because of grace. Do you think that the Lord God of heaven gave grace so that the wicked could get in and be wicked? And that the wicked could get in and devils could live on the inside of wicked and rip throats and ravish little children? Don't you know that God would be an accessory after the fact? And don't you know that if I knew somebody was peddling dope and I give them a house to live in and I kept them good and healthy and strong and furnished the money, that I'd be just as rotten as they would be? How can you think that God would do a thing like that? So then for sure we know that God doesn't do things like that. So then God would destroy them this very day. If he could get the last one out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the very minute the last one come out, even as it was with Lot, the Bible said the very day, Lot being typical of the church, the very day that he went out, God rained fire and brimstone down upon all of them and destroyed them. And the very day that Noah went into the ark and the door was closed, God rained down his wrath and destroyed all those people, saving only 8 people. And the very minute that those people, though they were people that God had brought out of Egypt, when they turned back into their hearts, the very day that God came down to that place to where he could not get them to honor him, then Moses went down and said, if I be a man of God, let the earth open up, swallow them up, and let them go down the pit quickly. And God destroyed all of those people on the way to Canaan. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we are here tonight to talk to the saints of God, to tell you about the love of God and tell you that God loves you. Listen at me, folks. A fornicator does not belong to God. An adulterer does not belong to God. A liar does not belong to God. A gossiper, a backbiter, people that practice uncleanness, people who dishonor their bodies one between another, these people are turned over to a reprobate mind. They don't belong to God. Someone would say, well, God's mercy is out there. God's given them all kinds of churches, Brother Pike, and he's just going to be merciful. And as one man said, I repeat it a lot of times, God's going to save us in spite of ourselves. But let me tell you something. Those people do not belong to God. The Bible said concerning Israel, a lot of times we get carried away and say, well, the Bible said the whole house of Israel will be saved. That is true, and the scriptures cannot be altered. But on the other hand, though it does say that, and though that is true, yet the Bible emphatically states, Paul the apostle doing the talking, he said, all that come out of Egypt is not of Israel. 3 million people, all of them was not of Israel. He said, but in Isaac shall the seed be called. And he said, and that is to say, these that do not live according to godliness and desire godliness or want to follow after God, he said, these are not God's seed. The elect is accounted for as in Israel, as in Jacob or in Isaac. So then we know that, as Paul said, I have proven that all people, including the Jews, are under sin and charged with sin and shall die, and there is no special people in the sight of God. There is, somebody said, but the Jews are special. There is no such thing. If God had the Jews as being special people, then you would have to acknowledge, whether you wanted to or not, that God was a respect of a human body, which the dictionary gives as a human person. God is no respect of human person. It does not matter who you are, what you are, male or female, rich or poor, educated or whatever you feel yourself to be. God notices no man's person. And whether it be a Jew, a Japanese, a German, or whether it be American or whatever, whether you be white or black, a lot of times you know races, they get the feeling like they're special. It doesn't matter what you are in the sight of God. God thinks one thing of you, and that is He despises your image because it is a bastard child. It is a bonds child, and He had one feeling toward it, and He lifted it up at Calvary and poured out His wrath to the fullest extent upon it. He destroyed it. He done away with it that He'd never see it again. And then He brought forth the bodily members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, and put blood as to on the seat of atonement until He could get them members out from among the dogs and the swines or the murderers and the liars and whatever to bring them into a oneness that He might translate them through the church ages down through the church ages into the marvelous kingdom of God, having brought the kingdom at Calvary. So then in doing this, when He finishes this work, then you will see what He thinks of the wicked. You'll see what He thinks of the Japanese. You'll see what He thinks of the American. You'll see what He thinks of the African. You'll see what He thinks of the Chinese and of the Philippine and whatever He might be. You'll see, because that quick He'll devastate the entire earth and everything that's on it, because He will not receive any of them. If you do not have the Spirit of God, the Bible said you are none of His. You may be ever so religious. You may be in the rain, and you might be as a tear, the water coming down upon you. But according to the Bible, you do not belong to God. You may shout, you may sing, you may go to church, you may give in the offering, you may act very religious. But the Bible says, if you have not His Spirit, even the Spirit of Christ, then you're none of His. For the promise was made not as under seeds of many, but one. And we take a little illustration a lot of times, and we go over this to make it real simple. That in the days of Noah, before the great devastation of the flood, the Bible teaches that God took them into the ark as to eight people to save them. Isn't that right? Took them into the ark to save them. And all of the rest He destroyed. Why? Why did He do that? Because Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord Jesus. One person found favor in the eyes of the Lord Jesus. It doesn't say that the son-in-laws or the daughters or the sons or anybody else in that day found favor in the sight of God. It said Noah. And the Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. That is to say, Jesus. In this day, all flesh had corrupted its way, and so they've done the same today. When the great deluge came as to coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah, I made the statement, the Spirit of the Lord showed me He cut it into half. And only four were saved. Why? Why was that? It was again because Abraham found favor in the sight of God, and God took that favor to Lot. For the Bible said Lot was a righteous man. He had made the wrong choice in going down into Sodom and Gomorrah like a lot of people today mixed up in the world, whereas Abraham had taken to the plains. But the thing is, he was a righteous man, and the Bible says that righteous man's soul was vexed from day unto day. So then just half of them was saved. And then when the great deluge came again, after God bringing the great multitude out of Egypt through the wilderness over into the Canaan land, when He got there, there was only two of them saved that actually went into Canaan, of them that had wandered through the wilderness. God did it for the sake of Moses, who was faithful in all of his house. But Moses, being symbolic of the body of Jesus that had to be offered for our transgression, he did not go in. Joshua, being as to symbolic of the Holy Spirit, has to be raised again in another form. And yet it was Moses, because it was said unto Joshua, do exactly what Moses said and keep these commandments exactly the way that I've delivered unto Moses. And so then Joshua and Caleb were the two that went in. And all of the elders died in the wilderness. And God took the young children, raised them up to show that born-again experience, that no flesh would glory in His sight. And the youth went in. All right, so then we are told that in the third deluge, which is the deluge of Calvary, that when this time come, that it was cut in half again, and rather than two, there was only one. And this one was the seed as unto whom the promise had been made, saying, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And Paul said, and the promise was not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, even the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the only one. And the way that I got into it and the way that you got into it was by being bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh and having Christ Jesus, the quickening spirit of Christ, on the inside of you. He is the hope of that glory, even the glory of God that was given to Christ. For the Bible said he alone is heir to that glory. And if you have him on the inside, you are heir to that glory by faith of Jesus Christ. And if you have not Christ on the inside, the Bible said you're none of his. Though you be ever so religious, you're still none of his. And this is again why I remind you that at the 19th chapter of Acts, the upper coast of Ephesus, Paul said unto the disciples that came from John, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we have not heard so much as whether there be a Holy Ghost or not. He said, immediately under what baptism was you then baptized? Knowing that remission of sin was in the name, and it was stated at Pentecost, repent every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For it's unto you and your children, and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. These disciples of John was before Jesus was offered for this remission of sin. John saying, repent. But he said, believe on the name that's coming. And in that name is remission of sin. For I'm not worthy to unloose the shoe. And when the name come, Paul rebaptized them in the name of Jesus. For the remission of sin, they received the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues and begin to prophesy. So we know then that remission is in the name, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. We are to preach remission in the name, and the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous flee into it and are safe. And with this we are crucified with him at Calvary. The Lord has taken away our sins when we accept that body. No more a sinful image. Paul said, travailing till Christ be formed within you, this wonderful Christ coming forth within you. God is gently working with us down through the church ages. As to the woman, carrying this child and trying to do everything he can through grace, as to a husband, like the blood on the seat of atonement, as to a husband doing everything for his wife during the time she's carrying a little one, because he doesn't want it marked. You can mark a child. And so then God doesn't want this child marked as the church, heavy with child as Mary was during the time of the taxing. See, he doesn't want this child marked. He doesn't want one spot, one blemish, not one thing on this child. He wants it to be 100% Jesus Christ on the inside of you, that wonderful, spotless lamb. And so then he gives in to this extent as to the beast. He gives grace. And where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. And he just swallows it up and swallows it up, and he tolerates and he puts up with this until the time of the opening of the matric and the birth of the child. And after that, the woman has to come in line. The Bible said, and then as to this and the tribulation period, as to Israel, the woman goes down across the water, as to the Jordan, a place prepared for her for times, time and a half a time, where she is nourished from the face of the serpent. And then after that, the child having been caught up to the third heaven, after that, then she returns after the tribulation period, after she goes through what Solomon referred to as the time of her purifying. So we know that something great has taken place, and something great is taking place. And we don't have time to detail the thing like we would like to, because it is so great and so marvelous as to you hearing these things and then believing these things, as to what this faith does to you in making you to become what we are speaking of. You know, you stand before a judge, and like I was telling my wife, if you've got a prosecutor over here, it's by his words that you find yourself in trouble. As to a prosecution, if the judge accepts it. And on the other side, you've got a defender, and as to your defense over here, it's by his words that you find yourself as to coming out of the problems that you're accused of. But at the same time, you've got the judge back here. And as to what that judge says is as to his word, whether you're going to be free or whether you're not going to be free, God sent his word and healed them. That judge gives forth his word, and according to his word, as to the law of the land, then you either have liberty or you go to confinement. So that means that God has sent his word. And we're here to tell you the wonderful words of God and the wonderful ways of God, and that things are happening throughout the world. And you are waiting for something to happen. It isn't going to happen at all. People that are sitting around waiting for something to happen, they're blind. They're in darkness, intellectual darkness. They do not see when good comes. They cannot comprehend this life. They are shut out. They're on the outside. They're in the darkness. And the God of darkness is their God and their ruler. And they cannot get into this marvelous light. This very light that we speak of will cause the earth to pass away, the heavens to pass away, the sea to pass away. All that is therein shall pass away with the coming of this light when it is manifested after the tribulation period or after the millennium. Coming from heaven, emanating from the great God of heaven, all will pass away. And there'll be a new earth and a new heaven. We are already in that, folks. We've already had that to happen to the inner man. And for the inner man, this body, as to the outer man, by Calvary passed away with the coming of the Word at Calvary in a personification of the body when He came forth as that physical being called the Word and healed us and took away all of our sins and done away with our iniquities and gave His blood to cover our sins. So today the day star dawning within our hearts, so this great wonderful day star comes forth in its expression as to words that it might change our image. Overcoming has given us the bright of the morning star, even His Son, within our heart. This great wonderful light comprehending the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of it. So then we find that it's already happening. The law and the prophets still John, since that time the kingdom has been preached. That's what I'm preaching, is the kingdom. Philip preached the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus as an entrance or a doorway into this kingdom. And today we're preaching the same thing. Jesus Christ is named to repent, to be baptized, to enter into this wonderful thing of God calling on the name of the Lord to wash away your sin and the infilling of this great wonderful Spirit, which is the kingdom of God within you, Christ, the fullness of God. Now, when we preach this kind of thing, then you repent, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are saved. And when this wonderful heavenly treasure as the eternal life, even the Spirit of Christ, comes into your heart and into your life, then from that time on you grow in the grace and knowledge of that child as to the divine conception of the wound of the heart. You begin to develop that child on the inside, begins to develop. But that is to say, that spiritual you on the inside, that angelic you, that you that is a sovereignty of desire and choice, that Christ hath entered into that spirit according to the measure that you have allowed Him to be as to that safeguard and the garment, and the more that you open up your spirit to Him, the more that this measure of spirit enters into your spirit, and the more that that child as to your own spirit begins to take on Christ and His nature and begins to develop more and more, that it's not you that lives in the end, but it is Christ living within you, and that spiritual being on the inside is thus given itself wholly unto God without reservation of heart, and thus it is Christ walking again in the flesh according to the measure of what you have allowed in your life. God saying, go on to the full measure of the full stature, go on to the full reward. So in this great wonderful thing that we see happening, it's already happening. From Calvary, it is already happening. Now the kingdom of God is within some people that are here tonight. I look around and I look at you and I know that within this group of people, I've got some sons and daughters of God, and in Christ is neither male nor female. But I've got sons and daughters of God. I've got some that's got the kingdom of God within you. And I've got others that's sitting here that I know for sure that's got the world on the inside of them. They don't have the kingdom of God. They've never been born again. See, they cannot even see the kingdom of heaven because it is a spiritual thing through the enlightening of eye of understanding as to comprehending. So they don't even see good when it comes around. That's why they don't do good. See, but some of you have the world on the inside of you, and the Bible said if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. For God has placed the world on the inside of a man's heart, and the Bible said with the brightness of this coming as to this wonderful understanding, it eradicates as to the transformating of thought to thought until the mind of Christ is living within you, and it's not you living but Christ, and this great wonderful blessing of God that makes you so buoyant in the Spirit, it comes forth, it's manifested in your mortal genes, and that the life of Christ should be made manifest in your mortal genes to bring forth this wonderful image that will come forth as to the ultimatum of the change at Thessalonians, as to what Paul spoke of. Now, so walk in the light. While you are in the light, love the light, embrace the light. Don't leave the light. And when you walk in your own understanding, you're not walking in the light. The Bible said if you're born to the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. If you're born to the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I know that I'm born to the Spirit. That's good. That's wonderful. But if you're born to the Spirit, he said, walk in the Spirit. There's a difference between being born to the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. You need to walk in the Spirit. If you're born to the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And when we say born to the Spirit, that means inwardly as to this innermost being, as to your angelic being of its own sovereignty, having accepted Christ, who is the light of the world on the inside of you, sealed with that Spirit. The darkness cannot get near that inner man because you keep yourself, and the evil one touch you not, and darkness and light hath no fellowship. But when he said walk in the Spirit, it indicates that this body must come to a submission and a surrender as to your own intellectual brain work, as to these human nerves, which is relative to the things of this world. You've got to confiscate. You've got to get a bridle on him. And Paul said, I keep under my body as the inner spiritual being and put a bridle on my body. And I bring it into subjection, lest after I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. So then you must submit this body to be holy in body and in spirit. Not just holy in spirit. Paul said, I seek to present you blameless body, soul, and spirit. Which means there is a working. I don't have time to go into these things. I say so many times. But as to the first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven, there are seraphims and there are cherubs. And then there are angelic beings. See, so there's numbers as to variety of what there is in heaven. And as to what you're going to be, as to body, soul, or spirit, as to what you're going to give yourself to, as to what you're going to be through Christ, is left up to him. You know, it's kind of like the Godhead. Oh, they have a lot of dispute concerning the Godhead. As the Bible said, we're without excuse as to the things that are shown. The Godhead, God has many bodies. God doesn't just have one body, he has many bodies. But the only thing is, God, who is a spirit having many bodies, he has many bodies that are members. I am of the body. You are of the body. And God has many human bodies that are but members in his body. And there is only one God. As to the headship, Jesus Christ being the head of that body, there is no three. There's only one. And Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead, the Bible said. Bodily speaking, Paul said. So it's to the body. So we know then that the things that we're saying here, first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, cherubim, whatever it might be, we're speaking of dimensional things as we go on with God to understand as we exhale into these glories and these heights, saying that some have never known the depths of Satan, saying as to Judas, it was better that this man never been born of all the punishment he was coming into, and saying as unto us to a full reward, going on to the great heights of God, as to whatever he has for us. In the world we see symbolic. There's a man with a few thousand, there's a man with a few million, there's a man with billions. So it depends on what you want to be. It depends on what we want to be. God has been so good that he has given us a sovereignty. If you want to hold on as to some things in the world, it's just going to dwarf you as some things in the Spirit. If you want to be a fullness of Christ as it was with Jesus, the very desire of God and the will of God made manifest in the flesh, you got to give up the world. So with the brightness of this light that I'm telling you to walk in, this light is revealed from on the inside, and it is to be made manifest as the life of Christ within your physical being as to your mortal genes, even as it was when Moses' face shined, when Stephen's face shined. See, and as Jesus' whole body was illuminated as he stood in glory. And God is trying to make this light manifest, that your light so shine that men may see your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven. So if you have this light on the inside, the more you submit your mind as to this body, the more that light is manifested in your mortal gene, the more you are as Christ. What is this about? To have love, as to the fruits of the Spirit, to have gentleness, to have faith, to have meekness, to have long-suffering, to have patience. And the Bible said, add to your experience godliness, to act like God and become more like God in your natural way of life, in your natural deeds, as to the attributes of your life and the characteristics of your life. Let yours be eradicated, because from your birth you are filled with the devil. Even the little child, the spirit of foolishness is bound in the heart of a little child, and a rod of correction has to be there to drive it forth from him, to train him as he comes to this wonderful change. And though he has this, he hath no knowledge of right and wrong, therefore it's not imputed. His little angel is never contaminated as to the infiltration of the body, And at any time, should it leave the body, it's right in the presence of the Father. It's in heaven. And when you are born again, thus you are. Jesus said, lest you become as a little child. You are then, you're as one that your spirit is separated from your body. It is sealed with the Holy Spirit. It is innocent, though you stumble and stagger. You really don't know, because you're growing up now into a new mind, in a new world. And you really don't know. And should anything happen to you, you're all right. You're safe. Such is the kingdom of heaven. See, but folks, there comes a time when we know right and wrong. Like the little child, and the child is accountable. And when we come to this understanding, the Bible said, having come to the knowledge of what is right and wrong, then if you continue on in sin, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, only the fearful looking forward to of the fire indignation that shall devour the adversary. When that little child comes to the knowledge of the law, it comes to the knowledge of understanding correction. After that, it gets chastened. After that, it has to pay the penalty according to the law. Sometimes it's death in the electric chair. Sometimes it's life in prison. And as we come to the knowledge of these things, to begin with being sons, we're not going to escape the chastisement. We're going to go by the whipping post. And every son that cometh to God, he's going to scourge him first because of the weakness of that body. And Jesus being our example, the Bible said, though he was a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered, even to death on the cross, becoming our author and finisher of faith and salvation. So then it's evident you're going to get whipped on the way. You're going to be chastened on the way. And the Bible said, be zealous and repent. For every son that cometh to God, he scourgeth him first. Jesus, to be our example, had to go through the scourging. That means that we need to do the very best we can and as quickly as we can, repent over it, and as much as we can, stay away from those things that brings us chastisement, and do the will of the Father. Because every time that we go wrong, we lose. We suffer loss. Our works are burned. And we suffer loss. And we can never go back and redeem that day. If it was 5 days that we were out of source, that's 5 days that things was lost. And our faith wasn't working. And we wasn't manifesting the wonderful charity of God as to the fruits of the Spirit. To keep from behaving ourselves unseemingly and doing the things that's not likely in the eyes of God as to Christ. See, so we know then that we lose and we suffer loss. But let's get in. Let's bring full fruits, perfect fruits, as love and peace and joy, long-suffering, not faulty fruits, as of that that withers up, but that is wonderful in the sight of God, and bring forth some real fruits. Show real meat as under repentance. So we know then that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another. We could go on and go on and get dimensionally deep in some things here. But the biggest thing that I'm doing now is just bringing forth a little exhortation to try to help us stay in line as to the mind of Christ, that we might do the things that please the Heavenly Father. So, keeping this in mind, I know it's hard, it's uncomfortable out there to you. I can see that. You know, I can see the fans going, and which reminds me, the Bible said his fan is in his hand, he shall thoroughly purge his floor. Burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire and gather the grain of the garners. So, when we minister to you, we're just trying to say a little something to exhort you the more as I see the day approaching, and it is upon us. That earthquake coming in California is more of the sign of the end time. Something is happening. What does that have to do with Major? The Bible said the stars shall fall from heaven. And the movie stars out there have to be partakers of it. God's got to shake it till they begin to fall. Naturally, physically, spiritually, every way. It has to go through those things. And if civilization coming from the east to the west, as to the woman, the seed, once the child has been born as to America, and that caught up as to that with the feet on the moon, it indicates the catching up of the sun. And as to that has went to the sun, as to that belongs to God. That is, when I say sun, going into the light, transformating into the spirit. See, that which is consumed as it goes to the sun, there's nothing left as to remembrance. It goes back to the original elements as to a consummation. For fire purgeth all things. And knowing that the seed come from the Jew and that salvation is of the Jew, and the conception was of the woman as to the Western world, even Joseph that took his wife as to the American, as we would say in the type today, or as it was the Egyptian, which was not a Jewish wife, but an Egyptian wife. So it has been that Christ has left the Jews and said, Paul, I'm going after a bride. And he has chosen to take his bride, not as of a Jew, naturally, and yet we are the true Jews spiritually. But he went to get his bride, even as Joseph married an Egyptian. And then when the brethren came in, as I said this morning, as to the tribes, it was Joseph that was at the head of the tribe. And it was very outstanding to me that at this time I'd spoken to my wife of this thing happening. My Joseph came in and began to take a real outstanding hand in this. And even now, putting up the tent last night, putting up the tent in Colorado, and staying right in here at this particular time because there's something that is taking place spiritually. And that means that as we emphasize the footprints on the moon, something has taken place. For the Bible said the woman was standing upon the moon in Revelation 12. And we emphasize the footprints, both stones coming back to Houston as to the crossing of the Jordan of that great, wonderful place that has never been crossed before. See, and here we are as to the feet on the moon, the woman, the flag. And here we are as to Revelation 12, for the finishing of the mysteries would be at the end time. And all of these things taking place that we have fragmentally spoke of on tape and fragmentally speak of it tonight. See, that means the end of the world is here. So if we were spiritual and could see these things, we would know that it was nigh even at the door. That the end of the world is here. And the mark of the beast, as we said, coming into this German mark, as to that currency, it's very evident. And as to the calendar dates, it's very evident that everything is right at hand. Let's stand together. Appreciate your kind attention tonight and listening to the Word of God. Hope we said something that might be enlightening to you. That you might be ready that day should not come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come upon the blind, even all of them that's in the earth, and they shall not see when good cometh. For Lucifer, the god of this world, having blinded their minds with their intellectual concept of what's right and wrong, the Bible said they shall not see when good cometh. Welcome you to help us in this work of the Lord that goes around the world. Ask you to come and be with us or to give your hearts and souls to Christ, whether it be here or wherever you want to go to church. But if you don't have a place, then we ask you to come and be with us. Fellowship with us. Work with us. Labor with us. For there is reward in all labor. But the talk of the lip only tends to penury. So you can testify, you can witness as to what you are, say what you are. It doesn't do any good, but when you believe, then it is shown by your works, and your works of righteousness as to the Spirit of Christ within you, that hope of glory is made manifest within your mortal body, that the world may see your light and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul. Precious Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing that with me. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep bout over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, my Lord. I need thee. The altars are open. Every hour I need thee. Sing that with me now. I need thee now, precious Savior. And oh, how I need thee. Sing with me. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. Oh, he has come back to your hearts once again. So let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear his gentle voice, and don't turn him away. Let's sing the show's chorus, Brother Taylor. The altars are open. I keep working those roads to glory. Working those roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I want to smooth out the roads that leads to heaven up above. I'll make it easy for those. Sing that with me. I keep working the roads to glory, working those roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I want to smooth out the roads that lead to heaven up above, and make it easy for those behind. The road to heaven, it's straight and also narrow. The gate around us, trials of every kind. I want to smooth out the snares at hand, offer my prayers to make it easy for those that's behind. Sing it with me now. So we're working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. Want to smooth out the roads that lead to heaven up above, and make it easy for those behind. Let's sing this little chorus. Bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, we shall come rejoicing. We're bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, and we will come rejoicing. We're bringing in the sheaves, singing. We're bringing in the sheaves, we're bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing. We're bringing in the sheaf, bringing in the sheaf. Are you bringing in the sheaf? Will you come rejoicing, bringing in God's sheaf? We're bringing in the sheaf, bringing in the sheaf. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, and we shall come rejoicing. We're bringing in the sheep. Let's sing this little chorus.
Gone, the stone, it's rolled back, gone. Tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Sing that with me. For he's gone, all for death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore. For he's gone, I saw the stone all roll back, gone. I saw the tomb, it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, over death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. He's alive forevermore. Jesus gave her water, and it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water, and she went forth to tell. Went away singing, and she came back bringing others to that water that was. Sing that with me. Oh, Jesus gave her some water, and it wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave her some water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to that water. That one more time together. Jesus gave her some water. Remember the woman at the well? It was not from the well. Jesus gave her some water. She went forth to tell. Went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. He was here all the time. My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here. It's a little warm tonight, but still it's not too hot to worship the Lord, to get filled up in the Spirit for the camp meeting, and to take the Lord into our heart in great abundance. I am the Prince of Life. I've come that you may have life in that more abundant, which means filled up and overflowing. And tonight Jesus is here, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What a wonderful privilege, what a wonderful thought to think that Jesus would come to little Bethlehem and that he would be here in our midst tonight. The great and mighty, almighty God, that great, wonderful God of heaven and earth, to think that he would be here with us. I think that's marvelous, folks. I want you to know that we love you and we appreciate you, and we'd do anything we could to help you to see that you had the wonderful blessings of God. If there was any way, anything I could do, I would gladly do it. To give anything that I could to help you on your walk with God and to go the way that God would have you to go. Brothers, one thing that you must do, you must honor the Lord. You must love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And you got to love your neighbor as yourself. So tonight, let's practice that wonderful thing. For though you have the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, it profiteth you nothing. Though you have all faith that you could move mountains, it profiteth you nothing without charity. And though you have all knowledge, it profiteth you nothing without charity. But tonight, let's let charity richly abound within our heart. For charity covers the multitude of sins. For Christ within you is that hope of glory that is done away with your sins, and that by his blood, even your sins, and that by his image is to take away the iniquity. So tonight, as we sing these little choruses together, and I will praise my Lord. I will praise. Can you lift your hands up? Close your eyes tonight. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can you call on the Lord tonight out of a pure heart? Can you call on the name of the Lord? The time is near. The end of the world is close. Can you call on the name of the Lord tonight? Can you say, Jesus, oh Jesus, have mercy on me, Jesus. Lord, I'm sorry. I've been growing, Heavenly Father, and I've been learning. Have mercy on me. Can you call on the name of the Lord tonight? You know it wouldn't hurt that everyone in here should call on the name of the Lord. Everyone that's in here tonight, you should call on the name of the Lord, asking the Lord to be with you and asking the Lord to help you and asking the Lord of heaven to strengthen you by the power as to the might of the inner man, that you might overcome this body. For the Bible teaches, he that overcometh, as to the inner man overcoming this outer man, I'll give to him to eat of the heavenly manna, or this wonderful spiritual manna. God is going to give it to you. For his blood, it washes away every stain. Let's sing this little chorus. Going to close out, but I feel like that we should sing another chorus or two. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Sing it again. Oh, are you washed in the blood, but in that soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white like the snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside that garment that is stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. For there's a fountain that's flowing for the souls unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Sing it. Oh, are you washed in the blood, but in that soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white like the snow? Are you washed in the blood? Sing it one more time. Are you washed in Christ's blood, in that soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white like the snow? You washed in the blood of the Lamb. Once again, I sing this little chorus, and I will praise my Lord. Is this an individual affair with you as an individual? Do you praise God? As an individual, are you born to the Spirit? Do you have Christ on the inside of you? Are you giving praise and honor and glory to his worthy name? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Him glory, all ye people, for his name. Once again, then. So I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give him glory, all ye people, for his blood that's washed away every stain, and time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea, and the land and time shall be no more. Now close your eyes, lift your hands up as we sing this once more. And time, I say again, you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. This is your Calvary, this is your generation, this is the time of your repentance, this is the time you call on the Lord, this is the time to look upon him who was lifted up at Calvary to the brazen serpent. For the end of the world is here. And though we would like to elaborate more as to the translation, as to the change, and perhaps we will as we go on, but not having the time in the services to extensively talk to you about things, we just have to bring bits and pieces and let the great wonderful Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ within you piece these things together, the Holy Ghost, bringing to your remembrance whatsoever we've taught you. Having been taught nothing, he can't bring anything to your remembrance. But if you've been taught, he will bring it to your remembrance. And he will guide you into all truth and all righteousness. God definitely will do it. He said he would do it. He will do it. So tonight, search yourself, examine yourself. See if you be in the faith. See if you're reprobates tonight or if you're in the faith. As faith by the hearing of the word, from the latter times many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So tonight, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. Believe in the word of the Lord. Love the light and walk in the light while you have the light. For soon the night cometh as to the intellectual confiscating of the Antichrist kingdom. The Bible said his kingdom shall be filled with gross darkness. And gross darkness shall fall upon the people as when the light of the church is taken out and the church is translated. And the Bible said they'll gnaw their tongues for pain. As to their intellectual ignorance, in that day they won't even be able to perfect a bottle of healing medicine. No relief. They'll pray for death, but even death will flee from them, that they cannot find relief from the pains and misery. Pray always, Jesus said, that you may be accounted worthy to escape these things that's coming on the earth. This is the end of the world. The angel lifted up his hand and swore by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. As to the finishing of the mysteries, it means the church going out. When the mysteries are finished, the church will go out. That's why they're held back as a mystery, that the world may not know these wonderful things. You that abide under the shadow of the Almighty, dwell in the secret place of the Most High, these things will be given to you, and the Bible teaches that God will reveal these things to you by the Spirit for this wonderful understanding. And so this that's coming forth in this hour is higher above your understanding than the heavens is the earth. It is not written in books. Professors can't teach it to you. You can't go to college and get it. You can't read the Bible and get it. This has to be revealed because this is the translation portion which God has held back strictly for the church. It's revealed unto you, even unto babes such as are willing to learn. Having the spirit of revelation is making you ready inwardly for that great wonderful change of the outer man. And this God has held back as to the best wine to the last. So then make sure that your vessels are ready. This wine cannot be put into old bottles. As to the skins of those bottles in that day, to put new wine into them, they would crack. It would swell out of proportion and crack it. And when you're set in your ways and set in the things that you want to be set in, as it was the Pharisees and scribes, this wine cannot go into those bottles. But it takes new bottles, as it was skin in that day, that could stretch. When the wine starts fermenting and moving itself around, the bottles would stretch as to proportionally allow for that as to the volume, as to the bottle, and as to that which was inside. See, and then it would set up as to harden accordingly. So then your new vessels, your new bottles, you're born again. And God has saved the best wine for the last, as to the finishing of the mysteries, that He alone should conceive of this and no one else to know it. That by that, the transformation of mine is through the wonderful translation of God, that ye should be a heavenly creature. Once again, we're going to sing it together. And I remember the whole world reflects these things. The whole world reflects these things. The Baptist, the Methodist, the Pentecostal, whatever it might be, they're all reflecting these things. But you that are children of God, these things are inbred within you. They're put on the inside of you, as inside of your spirit. And they, you're not reflecting these things as to an outer intellectual overshadowing or illumination of that wonderful Shekinah image that Adam walked out from under when he was enticed by the beastly mind. See, this thing is the interwoven restoration of that Shekinah image in which you were made, that Adam should be called the Son of God. And you're sons of God now, beloved, already as inside, being born of the Shekinah glory, and cannot be enticed out from under it by the beastly part, in that it is dead by Calvary and buried in the name of Jesus. So then you're all ready now. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? So be it morning, noon, and night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bride. Sing that with me now. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. We are ready for the bridegroom to come. Far be it morning, noon, and night, we're all resting spotless, and we're ready for the bride. Sing it again. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, and night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bride. Sing it like this with me now. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bride. One more time. I am ready for the bridegroom. And the Bible said the 10 wise virgins, they watched. And at the midnight cry, they arose, they trimmed their lamps, they lit the wicks. And they had light throughout the house, because they were watching, and they were waiting, and they were ready. Oh, are you ready for that midnight cry to come? Are you ready for the midnight cry to come? Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all resting spotless white, and we're ready for the midnight cry to come. Sing it. Oh, I'm ready. The Bible said it at midnight there was a cry.
Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And we're ready. We have the oil. Watching and praying. I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for that bride. One more time. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. It's just about midnight. What is the midnight? It's the change from day. At the midnight. See, we went through a dark, dark night. And at midnight, it starts moving toward the morning as to the cock crowing. Oh, I'm ready for the midnight cry to come. And I'm ready for the cock crowing to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm gonna stay all resting, bottomless fire, and be ready for the bride. Room to come. Lift up your hands and close your eyes with me, can you? Ready for the bridegroom to come. We're ready. I'm going to ask Keith to come up and dismiss us. And while Keith is coming, again, I remind you to search yourselves. See if you're in the faith. For we have all kind of a convictions. But, beloved friend, we have to have the conviction in the Word as to the wonderful Holy Spirit to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For you're His darling children. You're His precious children. You belong to Him, and He'll never let anything hurt you. You are His and altogether His, and He will never let anything hurt you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. And He's indeed with you tonight. So don't fret. Don't be afraid. Nothing can harm you. Nothing can separate you from God. Jesus said, these are the plants that my heavenly Father hath planted, and He hath given them unto me, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. Heights, depths, things present, things to come, powers, even Lucifer, fallen angels, said they can't do anything with you. You have the overcoming power. You're sealed on the inside in the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. And the darkness cannot get near that Holy Spirit. He's the champion of our faith. He is the champion of justice. And so this wonderful, wonderful Christ, the might, the power of the inner man, strengthens you. And in this, you can do all things. All things you can do by Him that strengthens you on the inside. So you hold fast. Hold fast. You're going to be all right. One more time together. And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise that Lamb for sinners slain.